Hi, Fernand. Hi, Sadie.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Jeremiah.
Morning, Tracy. Morning, Al. Just getting started here. Got a big day here with some office moves.
Yeah, oh, look at all that stuff.
A lot of stuff.
That stuff's always going to be there until.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good
Morning.
morning, Bruce.
And happy birthday, Fernaz.
Thank you,
Happy
Bruce.
birthday,
Hey, hey.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Bruce with the
42.
win on the birthday knowledge.
42?
Pat, that would be nice. No, 47.
41?
You know, I'm embracing it. I love the
You
age.
should. My gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you. How are you doing?
We're good. We're good. Moving through it all. You know, crazy, but doing fine. Yeah.
Same here.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy.
Dorothy, you have great light in your house.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Does it seem that way to you?
I mean, the pros and cons, right? Because when it's
Yeah.
hot, you're like, less light, please.
Right. The vampire in you. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like LA, so everything is either too cold or too hot, right?
Yeah, I know. I know. All right. Who else are we waiting on?
Allison may join. We actually have quorum now, so we could start.
Oh, Ken is no longer on
Oh,
this.
he punched out, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then we can go ahead and call the meeting to order. Jeremiah, you got the attendance, or do you need us to call it?
Yes, I have it.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Oh, we are recording. Okay, sorry, we're good.
Oh.
Been a little while.
Yeah. I'll second the motion. Farnaz, in favor?
Aye.
Bruce?
Aye.
Tracy, aye. Motion carries. Are there any presentations from the floor? All right. Dorothy's up.
A lot to unpack in your presentation here, Dorothy.
Oh, there's a lot.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know where to start. I had so many questions. I figured I'd just shut up and listen.
I added some slides to help. So, but yeah, chime in whenever. Okay, so first we'll start with last year. Just high level, this is what we saw last time in June, and then this is how what we ended up reporting in August. Okay, but I first, because there's a big, we're going to talk a lot about Hold Harmless, I just wanted to recap. So 1920, we reported the actual ADA. In 2021, there was no real ADA submitted to any one official. So pretty much the schools got the 1920 ADA unless they submitted for a growth waiver. And then last year we were working under the assumption.
And I'm interrupting, I'm sorry. And that was a percentage effect, a fixed percentage based on enrollment. So if enrollment went up, then that fixed percentage would have also, we would have got additional ADA.
Well, this growth waiver, it was like an application, and I actually don't think environmental applied for. It had to do with if you were actually growing and your ADA was going to be higher than your 1920.
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, but we didn't, our environmental didn't apply for it, right, Tracy?
Right, yeah, we definitely did not have higher ADA
I
in
see.
2021 than 1920.
Yeah,
Okay.
there was like more to this one. It's like you had to have it actually in your budget when you approved it. So even if you're more conservative, it was like this whole thing. So, but
I'm sorry, go on. Okay.
and then last year we were working under the assumption Hold Harmless would be very similar, where it would either be, you know, you get your 1920 ADA again, or maybe there'd be some other kind of growth waiver. So it ended up not being that way. And we'll talk more about it, but there ended up being two separate calculations. And those two different calculations have to go in different fiscal years. So that's kind of what makes this one more complicated. But we're going to talk about it a lot more soon. Okay, so for Lawndale, you can see here, so we thought they'd be around 78. We ended up having a lot more child nutrition reimbursement, so that was good news. This state revenue was for the SMAA reimbursement. That's the school-based medical administrative activities. It's a lot of paperwork, but it's real money. Yeah. Also, the lottery rate was higher. We were also a little surprised at the end of the year. All high schools in the state ended up getting like a small amount of this ethnic studies grant, and we had to include that in last year. The local revenue was a little bit higher. This is for some workers' refunds. The school did spend more in services and other, and it was just a lot of different things. They did spend less on field trips, but they spent more on the home office, consultants, like payroll fees, substitutes. This big increase in comp and benefits, it's really, we had not included the bonuses that had been paid out, and there were a bunch of employees also working more hours. The big drop, this HH is the Hold Harmless. This was because we had to take, at this time, we had all of Hold Harmless in last year. And when we submitted the unaudited actuals, we had to take all of it out. So that was taking all of it out. And that's how we get to this 38,000.
Well, why were, just in a big picture succinctly, why did we fail is probably the wrong word, but not include the comp and benefits increases?
I think just because we knew there were going to be other decreases, we knew we weren't going to be using all of the consultants that we had put in. And you see that more on the other slide, but I think the other thing—
We budgeted very optimistically. Yeah. That we were going to hire tons of roles and that we were going to be able to do all of these things that we weren't able to do because there were shortages across the board.
Labor market shortages, environmental shortages. Oh, I see. Yeah.
We ended up having to go to our team members and ask them to do more because we needed to do more, and then we had to pay them more for doing it.
So by doing that, we increased our reoccurring costs versus our non-reoccurring.
No, they're not all permanent increases. There are
some are non-reoccurring increases.
Some of them are recurring.
Some are not. Yeah, and I think also, Bruce, we identified internally something that we're really working on this year is tightening up our overtime process and our meal waivers. We really did, what we discovered this year was that we need to be communicating to our employees more clearly that you can't just take overtime without the proper approvals and that sort of thing. So we have identified some things to work on in this as well, but a lot of it was planned bonuses and that sort of thing that we didn't adjust because we knew there were other things in the budget that were going to be like either revenues better than budget or expenses less than budget. So we felt like we would get pretty close to our year-end number without adding in.
I see. So you've adopted new processes to get your hand on extended time, overtime, whatever you want to call it here already. Right. So
yes. There's
the week before or that week, the manager gets a note and that individual approves. Is that how you do it? Or
I believe it's like via email. Yeah. But right. The manager has to approve in advance, and HR and payroll have to be aware of the approval. Mm-hmm.
And that is just extended time. So it's the same hourly rate. It's not time and a half, correct?
No, it is time and a half.
Wow. Is that law?
Yes. Anything over 8 hours or beyond 6 days, we have to pay overtime.
Because they're non-exempt?
5 days, 40 hours, 40 hours. What's that?
Because they're non-exempt?
Exactly. Yeah, these are hourly folks.
So exempt employees, you could pay just the hourly, the same rate, not time and a half, correct?
Exempt people, it's within their salary to work overtime at times.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'll let this go, but you know, I'll just say that Raytheon goes ahead and we now have a policy. The manager could approve 1 hour of overtime, extended time, but you're an exempt employee. It's just straight time. And so you get paid 41 hours instead of 40. Non-exempt is different. And that's kind of why I was asking that question.
And I think in a way that's what our stipends are, right? But okay. Maybe that's just a cultural thing, I'm not sure, but that's another reason we gave a lot of stipends to folks who are, for example, covering maternity leaves,
sure,
people and that sort of thing. So
I don't argue they deserve it. I was just trying to understand what compliance wise, what is our obligation if it's straight time or if it's time and a half, and you're telling me it's time and a half. So
it's time and a half, both for overtime and for lunch when they get mealtime penalty. So we were paying a lot for that. We have to get pre-approval now, and we're also going to audit it regularly.
Yeah.
And we're encouraging people who we're looking at the budgets of people who should be salaried and adjust shifting them to salary. Right. But right. You know, it's the reality of it is that everyone has worked above and beyond. You're talking about 40 hours and one getting paid for 1 hour over. I don't think we've been quite that responsive to people being over 40, even nearly.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I think you're doing the right thing, which is to understand whether or not it makes sense to just hire another FTE versus paying time and a half. And where is that, where's that decision process, or where is that decision point? And so as long as you're focused on that, you got a process and you're looking at it great. Okay, I'm sorry. Move on.
Okay, so Gardena Middle School, we had big chunk of savings in instructional consultants. This was just expenses that didn't materialize in ELD, and there was a credentialing program. Also savings in field trips. Similarly, they had a lot more child nutrition reimbursements. And we got extra COVID grant money from the county. And we also ended up using a little bit of SR2 money that we weren't expecting to use. We had some savings in comp and benefits, mainly just from the benefit side. And then higher expenses and substitutes, which is actually very common across all schools. Building repairs, computers, and this is their big drop in the hold harmless, all of hold harmless was taken out. So Inglewood also savings in the field trips, same thing with the instructional consultants, the programming didn't occur or was a lot less than expected. The child nutrition, slight increase in the comp and benefits, and then they had this is their big drop in the hold harmless revenue. The high school in Gardena, they had a little bit of savings in the food service expense, and then some savings in the comp and benefits, mainly because of health benefits. Higher legal fees, probably, I'm sure this is related to the facility deal. And then a drop in the federal revenue. This is just us shifting the DOE grant from last year to this year. So this is a timeline of kind of the hold harmless drama. So we had assumed we could use all of it. We had included all of it in spring financials. The state budget got approved, and then we actually got the language in early July. And that was when it really kind of parsed out how they were going to calculate the two pieces of hold harmless. We confirmed with the auditor, CLA, and they did not want any hold harmless in the audited actual. So that's why we definitely had to take it out. We submitted the unaudited actuals to the authorizer, and then earlier this month, I mean, this, the auditors, all the auditors said that of the two pieces, which we'll talk about next, we have to include the attendance portion in last year. So there is no choice. It would be an audit adjustment. So that is what happened. So the two pieces, there's this attendance protection and there's this enrollment decline. So the attendance protection is this recalculation of the attendance percentage based on whatever happened at the school in 1920. Because this is getting paid in a specific way, I think that is why it's getting interpreted. It has to be included in last year. The enrollment decline adjusts, takes the ADA, or this pays out the difference between your ADA, your recalculated ADA from part one, and what you actually had in your ADA in 21-22. And this is paid out in a lump sum, as opposed to this one that gets paid out monthly. There was also a string attached to the enrollment decline in that you had to be open this fiscal year to get this money. And there was no way to confirm this calculation. So I think that's why all the auditors didn't want to include it. But they're the two different pieces. They're being calculated differently and they're gonna be paid out differently. Another thing that's, I guess, a little bit different is that the enrollment decline, that second part, there's a fixed amount in the state budget for it. So I think that also made the auditors nervous. Although in the same paragraph, it says that the Department of Finance can increase this amount, but it's more if they're going to ask for that increase, or is this enough, or they're just going to prorate it. So there are still, I guess, we're not 100% sure like how this exactly, if we will get 100% of what we're supposed to be getting of this portion.
For that, maybe you said and I missed it, I'm sorry, who's auditors? Ours?
Correct.
So they're simply saying we can't agree that there's an increase or a decrease right now, we'll just wait for the actuals?
For the second piece, yes.
Okay.
For this second piece. For this piece, they are allowing it. And also now, like the FICMAT calculator, which is this, I don't know, official organization in the state, they included this part. So this is something the auditor, this number the auditors can verify. So what this means is, so this green is what we reported at unaudited actuals, and the blue is the added part of the attendance portion of Hold Harmless. So we know we're gonna have these, at least these blue audit adjustments. And then the number in purple is, you know, if that is the only audit adjustment, this would be the new operating income. And then
when they can't audit it, so that, will we just get a note in our audit about that? It won't be a finding, will it?
No. Okay. So there's a page where, I mean, auditors do this differently. So they normally have the unaudited actuals number at the top, and then they have like different rows on like what has changed from there to tie to the operating income they're reporting in the audit report.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, we kind of have an unblemished record of no findings. And so I just want to make sure that we're holding on to that.
Yeah. This wouldn't be a finding.
Okay. All right. Cool. I mean, it's no fault of ours. It's really the fault of the state that they can't provide some transparency. And the auditors are saying, we just need to see the data, damn it. So, okay.
This is how it looks. When it's the Hold Harmless is split across fiscal years, the purple is what's going to be included last year, and this teal is what will be included in this current fiscal year. And if you want to try to match these amounts to like the decreases in the other sides, it won't match perfectly for Lawndale and Gardena because we submitted adjusted P2. And it was lower, so I took out some of the money from there. If you're trying to match. Okay. Moving to the state budget. So we talked about the ADA protection. LCFF came in about 13%. So that was really positive because the budget the board approved included 9.84%. So you'll see that increase in all the schools. The ELOP grant, which the middle schools have, came in higher at 2750. In the budget, we had been assuming 2500. And we had also not included any of these state grants. So the schools will be getting these big chunks of money. The board will be, we'll see this again because both of these have to be board approved, the plans. There's going to be a CDE template for this one. And pretty much you can use it on anything instructional. The other chunk of money is essentially discretionary. And this one also has to be approved by the board. They both have multi-year spending plan, like deadlines. So you have options. And right now the plan is probably we won't spend it this year. Maybe we will at the high school in Gardena, but maybe probably not at the other schools. These are the estimated amounts. We're still waiting for the official entitlements, but you can see it's a good amount of money. Some other updates we got with that ELOP grant, which was, I think, good news, is there is clarity on if you offer more than 175 days of instruction, you can count those additional days as part of ELOP instead of adding the full 30 on top of the regular school calendar. So that was, I think, good news. Any questions before we move to this fiscal year? Just high level, this is the original budget and where we are right now. So for Lawndale.
Can you just go back one more time? I just wanted to try to absorb it real quick. So income, so we're much higher income than we had initially budgeted for.
Everywhere
the exception of Gardena, and you'll get to and you'll unpack that for us in a little bit.
Yeah.
Cool.
So at Lawndale, overall, the change is $19,000. So this LCFF, this was because of the higher COLA. And actually, probably the next time we see this, you're going to see another increase because once the governor actually signs AB 185, LCFF goes up again. It's just a teeny amount. It's not nothing like this, but it's extra money. So this $66,000, this is $26,000 in hold harmless. And for we're including, I guess, 40,000 in one-time state money here. We did have a decrease slightly in the special ed revenue, just how mental health money is getting handled now. It's now getting paid by ADA rather than reimbursement. So that actually was not in Lawndale's favor. There's a small decrease in federal revenue just for some updated title entitlements. We did have some increased staffing, so that's why it's related to the benefits. So in terms of staffing, some are due to higher wages, but the school also added a number of positions, including two paras, one long-term sub, a restorative practices facilitator, sped teacher, and three teachers. And if you actually look at the detail in the income statement, you'll also see we'll have some savings in the CMO certificated because some of those, the plan now is that they're actually going to show up as contractors. This increase in services and other expense, so that is that there's a home office increase, that's the contractors, and then higher expenses for janitorial and building repairs. The middle school in Gardena, so their big increase because of the higher COLA. We had some savings in the classified staffing. There's going to be no student services, college readiness, and then there's going to be an extra para. We did, this is the SR2 money we ended up using last year. So that was an adjustment to this year. And then in certificated salaries, we have one less FTE in SPED, but we added a long-term sub in college readiness. And then we, similarly to Lawndale, there's increases in the home office and janitorial expenses. At Inglewood, this is their COLA increase for LCFF, and then they had a big adjustment for hold harmless. These certificated savings are driven by the CMO certificated savings. We did add special ed, which offsets with half a headcount less in teachers. Similarly, higher expenses in building maintenance, janitorial, field trips, home office, and then this big increase in classified is for adding two SPED paras, two ELD paras, and a sub.
Those are permanent, or those are just so next year's bucket will include those?
They may not be permanent, but at this point we don't know. The SPED paras are one-on-one aids, so those are specific to IEPs of students.
Yeah.
And the others I think are a trial to see how it goes. They also had much higher ELD counts this year than prior years. So it also depends on the count of students who qualify for services a little bit.
I see. Cool.
They're likely at least 2 years out because two of the students are in the sixth grade who are using extra services. There's more mod severes at Inglewood than before.
I got a couple of questions. I'll just try to go fast. So are we seeing an increase in IEPs right now? Or
definitively at ECHS Gardena, we have the highest percentage of students with exceptionalities at any site. I think we're at 26%.
26% of an IEP?
And then with mod severes as well.
26% of an IEP?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And what are the other schools? I'm just kind of curious. I thought they were like 12%.
12%. I think ECMS Gardena might be slightly higher than that.
Yeah, I think they're
Lawndale is lower.
Last I knew ECMS Gardena was closer to, I think, 16 or 18.
16, yeah. ECHS Lawndale is lower than that. ECMS Inglewood is, I think, at that percentage, but
26%
at 12%, but has mod severes. So wow. That's definitely, so the paras are definitely an increase across the board for that reason. Yeah.
And I get, you know, because it's a finance meeting, so I'll ask it in that frame. And how do, Is CCSA seeing this across the board, and is there guidance on how to budget for this, or is this something that we're just looking at trend lines and budgeting it for?
We're seeing it largely in ECHS Gardena. It's linked to student recruitment and the fact that we don't have as robust a lottery as we should. So if we had a more robust lottery, right now it's the students who need the most support are seeking an alternative, and they're coming to ECS because we have a reputation of being good.
Sure. But even with a lottery, it's blind. So I mean, you know,
if you had a more robust lottery with more students in it, then likely it would be more representative of the community over time.
Right. And this is not mental health. This is IEP. I mean, this is pediatric, you know, approved kind of pediatric. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you're budgeting for this next year. You're folding this in, you're making these assumptions and.
We always revisit it though, because again, it's tied to specific students who sometimes we know they've moved on or so. Yeah, we always revisit.
But at 26%, that's more than just, you know.
I just did a quick data check on that. For this year, ECHS Gardena is now going to be around 14%. So it went down quite a bit from over 20. It looked like it was a 1 year blip.
Is that right? For this year, it's already gone down that much?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, and they're sorry, smaller. Bruce,
old information.
Yeah. Student enrollment body. So, you know, small changes can have big effects.
there have also been a few students who've opted out in the last few weeks that I think are were students with exceptionalities, and three students can have a big impact, largely because they wanted to, we're doing a push-in model still there, and they realized their students needed a pull-out model. So that's happened with a few students in the last few weeks.
Yeah. And does that even include, what is the other terminology, 826, or what's the other thing, the one step down from the IEP?
Yeah, 504.
504, thank you, yeah. So does that 26% include 504s too, or that's in addition to that?
Right, the 26, well, now 14% is only, IEP students, not 504 plan students, but
it's crazy.
I don't know how many students we have just on a 504 plan, but if they don't qualify for an IEP, it's probably not significant services, I imagine.
Because the accommodations are not as, maybe the lack of better way of saying it, costly to the school, the 504.
That is right, yeah.
Okay. We can move on. I'm sorry. I'm just floored.
So the high school in Gardena, some savings in janitorial and field trips. There's a small variance in classified, just increased hours. Also removed the electives. The increase in home office previously mentioned, and then this benefits is just mainly in STIRS. We did decrease ADA by about 8.5. So that's this drop here in 61,000. And then this increase in certificated. So salaries were adjusted up. And then we added one SPED and one enrichment teacher. So looking at the cash, definitely. We're in good spot for the older schools. And then we're keeping a very close eye on the high school in Gardena.
Yeah, I mean, we're scraping the bottom there. So earlier question, when you had the home office cost there, that's apportioned, across, it's kind of peanut buttered across all the schools, right?
Yeah, so the three older schools pay by ADA, and the high school in Gardena pays a fixed amount this year. Okay. So they're not paying their full.
So if you go to the next slide, the last one you were just at, there you go. So do we have the ability for Gardena High School then to forego as a loan or something like that, some forgiveness of that home office support there because cash flow is so bad?
I don't know about forgiveness, but certainly we don't immediately transfer the cash over for those shared things. We have a schedule of when they pay back for the shared things.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm saying, I mean, you're picking it up. I mean, what are those off ramps that allow us to have cash flow that doesn't take?
Well, and also, we did apply for that line of credit. We're just finishing up. It was delayed by the other loan. We wanted to get the other loan closed, but we have now figured out a way to move forward with the line of credit with Beneficial, and we expect it to be closed very soon. So that's our other off ramp, is to draw down on the line of credit with Beneficial, which is about a $600,000 line.
$600,000. And does that flip into a fixed rate at that point once you draw down on it, or does it stay at the variable rate and subject to?
Yeah, it's a variable rate based on, I forget which indicator, but like prime plus whatever.
Yeah, usually. Whatever it is, but yeah. It's variable. Yeah.
Yeah, it is variable.
And so our plan to pay it back would be pretty immediately afterwards once cash flow comes back. And so,
yeah, okay. We wouldn't want to hold on to it too long, but if we have to draw it down, then we will.
Yeah. And so, and what is your plan? What is our policy say for reserve? Is it 5%? Is it for cash reserve for Gardena? What are you trying to get to? And have you broken that policy? I guess that's what I'm saying.
We don't have a cash reserve policy necessarily.
I thought we did.
We have a fund balance reserve, like a reserve for economic uncertainties.
We're definitely over, but
over what does that mean?
Over 5%. It's like at if they hit their operating income this year, it's at 20%.
Okay. I guess my question to the team simply is just to, you know, double check that. I mean, to make sure that we are within what the guidelines we set for ourselves. Sounds like, I mean, you got
to. Yeah, we definitely have not, you know, we do have to have a certain amount of cash in the bank to make sure we can make payroll and all of that. And yeah, we always monitor that and make sure we have enough cash in the bank.
And the pressure relief valve is that credit line. And mm-hmm. you think that's going to fund in a couple weeks?
I hope so. Yeah. We're just in the last part of underwriting. So.
Well, okay.
We'll just have to sign all the documents, but yeah, they were,
It's such a weird meeting because I feel like I'm the only one asking questions here. It's like an audience of one. So I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
All right. Either way. Okay. What makes you the most nervous about that entire presentation for Naz? Anything? Or do you feel, I mean, considering where we are and the environment and all that.
Oh, there's so much that makes me nervous about the future and whether or not we're going to be able
from an expenditure perspective.
We've increased salaries significantly as we've had to because of inflation and competition.
Yeah.
We've barely stayed in line with inflation rates. And I'm worried about not being able to recruit strong teachers if I don't do that. And strong staff if I don't do that. But at the same time, I know that probably in 3 years, if we see cuts in funding, 4 years, we're going to be laying off a lot of people. And even though we've never had all of these positions before, any point at which you start laying off a lot of people, it will feel traumatic. And I will have to say, remember, we talked about this. We knew it was going to be hard, but it's still going to be intensely difficult for people to say, oh, well, we never had a social worker and now we have four and I want us to cut down to two. How could we live without two of our social workers? That, you know, that's going to be happening for sure. That's not that I'm saying that that's what I want to cut, but like like that.
Yeah.
The number of paras we have, the number, it's what's necessary in this moment. And I don't believe in holding on to money because in the future you plan to, but you're going to suffer. But at the same time, I worry about it.
So, I mean, the fixed cost, right? So your salary is your highest, but you know, this is a question, not a statement. The expenditures on like CalPERS or CalSTRS or something like that is, wouldn't those then come down if inflation continues, if inflation comes down and therefore you'd have less of a fixed expense there and that might be a relief valve?
With PERS, they've certainly been doing nothing but massively raising the rate over time. It's like at, I think, 25% or something at this point, right, Dorothy? So I don't know. That one is rough, but only the high school in Lawndale has it. So that's good. But it's true that it is a percentage of salaries. So if salaries drop, then that will drop too. I think for me, Bruce, one of the things that's coming up, I'm going to this Charter Schools Growth Fund cohort for CFOs. And one of the things that is starting to come up is enrollment declines. And I think that's something that COVID may be somewhat, you know, we all saw declines due to COVID and we said it was due to COVID, but a lot of the folks who operate the younger grades are seeing drops in enrollment this year too. And so it looks like it's going to be an ongoing pressure that just not as many kids are enrolling in school in California. So I think right now we're not seeing it so much because we operate the higher grades, but I'm concerned it's going to eventually trickle up to us. So that's something I'm thinking a lot about. And again, it's something we just have to, I guess, communicate about and make sure people are aware that if the number of students we serve goes down, then the number of staff we need goes down.
Right. I mean, and getting in front of it with, you know, the thought process of, do we spend more money in marketing and recruitment, you know, so that we could head that off? And is there real value to that? I mean, trying to analyze our marketing spend and saying, are we getting our, you know, what's the business case for it? And maybe we need to increase it. I don't know.
That makes sense.
I mean, it's our biggest it's our biggest revenue driver. So we got to figure out some way to do that. So, I mean, steal from somebody. Okay. good presentation. Thank you. You guys put a lot of work into that.
Yeah, thank you, Dorothy.
Thank you, Dorothy.
Really helpful.
All right, so moving on to consent items A through D.
Yeah, we're probably way behind schedule here. Sorry about that.
We're actually not.
Oh, okay.
We're a little bit ahead of schedule.
Oh,
So consent items A through D, approval of private donations, approval of check registers and credit card statements, unaudited actuals, and teacher salary schedule, as well as, it's consent items A through E, actually. There are also some contracts on there for Woodcraft Rangers after school program for the high school in Gardena, and then Empowered Behavior Solutions Fed Provider Service contract. So do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion. I do have a question once we get to the second. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second.
Great.
Cool. So, with regards to those contracts, I haven't gone through those. I didn't have the time, but they're all same as we've had from the years before. No substantial changes. No.
Yes. Yeah. For the Woodcraft contract, exactly the same as before. The other's a SPED provider contract, very standard contract.
You don't see any increase in risk. I mean, that's really the question I would ask you, Jeremiah. Liability.
Not at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, not at all. These are just very standard ones. It was really more about the timing of when the contracts were put forth, and in between, early August and this meeting in September.
Cool. And then the check register and the credit cards are through that new process that you guys have now, where there's more of a review, and it's a two-person rule kind of.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. When does our stuff go to audit? When's that due?
Are we pushing that back to
next week?
It goes to audit next week?
Well, they're supposed to start looking at their stuff next week.
And they finish up what month they finish is usually?
Usually not till December.
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 And we're the same firm that we've had for the last couple of years? I forgot. Okay.
Yes.
Do you anticipate any real issues with that, Dorothy, or this year?
I don't think so.
Not that I know of either.
So it's just there is so much new restricted funding, millions of dollars new restricted funding. So that's a bit, it'll just be new for us, but not that it's new working with restricted funding for us, but they're all new buckets of money with all sorts of rules. But I think we understand them all.
Okay, cool. Okay. I'm ready to vote.
All right. Bruce?
Aye.
Farnaz?
Aye.
And Tracy, aye. All right. So action item A is recommend board approval of the revised budgets that Dorothy just presented for the four schools. Do I have a motion to approve the revised budgets?
Bruce?
And I'll second, I guess. Can I second? Okay. All right, any questions on this or any discussion? Okay, I'll take a vote. Farnaz?
Aye.
Bruce?
Aye.
And Tracy, aye. All right, so item B is to recommend board approval of the 22-23 Finance Committee goals.
How do they change?
Oh, they're not in here, shoot. Okay, so what we were going to recommend is that we keep the ones, the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh no, sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's an extra bullet point in there. So, and then since we already refinanced the loans, we don't need to keep that one, I don't believe.
I don't see what you see right now. You're not sharing a screen. It's just,
okay.
It's okay.
It's on the agenda, but
okay.
The 21-22 goals were engage the board.
You don't have to read them all. I was just wondering what the changes were.
Okay. Yeah. The change would be to remove collaborate with Menlo Charter Properties to refinance loans at ECMS Gardena and ECMS Inglewood.
Okay. And that makes sense because we're not doing that.
Right. Because we already completed that goal.
Okay.
Is there anything we wanted to add? I think we have a, you know, a fair number of goals as it is. I don't know that we need to add, but I just wanted to ask.
Are there any you want to take away, maybe? Any additional?
I don't think so, because I think they're all pretty relevant to our overall purpose. So, you know, ensuring transparency and sustainability, getting the new school through the startup process, training the board.
Okay.
Making sure the budget meets our priorities and goals. I think those are all really good goals for us.
Sounds good to me.
Do you have any feelings about?
Looks good to me. Thank you so much, Tracy.
You're welcome. Okay, so do I have a motion to approve the revised 22-23 finance committee goals?
I guess I make a motion. Oh,
you go ahead, Farnaz, and then I'll second, please.
Okay. I make a motion.
And Bruce seconds. Farnaz?
Aye.
Bruce?
Aye.
And Tracy, aye. Wow, that was a nice quick meeting.
We have 15 minutes, and so I wanted to just give, I wanted to ask if I could keep Bruce and Tracy online for just a moment, if that's possible.
Yeah.
So should we close with appreciations and then bug you guys? Oh, and Dorothy, actually, I apologize. Is that okay? Thank you. Sorry. I just want to appreciate Dorothy for all the hard work that you do always to get all of these reports in place, and you're always responding so promptly every time Lego asks for anything, and it's wonderful to have you. Thank you.
Yeah, and they're understandable. I mean, it's not, you're not just throwing paper out there. I mean, you're putting it in a representative, digestible manner that I think we can get our head around. And it's super important. And I hope the board appreciates that also.
Agreed. Thank you, Dorothy. And I want to appreciate Jeremiah and Farnaz. It's been a crazy, crazy week for them. And they still come in doing all the other things. And Sada E as well. Bruce, I don't know if you know this, but Sada E has been promoted up into manager.
I didn't know this. Congratulations. Awesome sauce.
So she's doing a lot too. And I'm so grateful to have her on the team.
And she does talk, right?
Thank you.
I do. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you out. You didn't say anything the whole meeting. So.
Taking it in.
Cool.
Sounds like she has a weird connection too.
I want to appreciate the finance team, Tracy, Dorothy, Sarai. Just really making this look like a seamless process, just all the budgeting, all the reporting. But there's so much work behind the scenes that has happened just to get through this last cycle. So thank you so much for your work.
I'll appreciate all of you. I mean, what you guys do matters so very vitally much to our community, to our larger community. I mean, the city, the state, our country, and our world. And you know, you guys touch the future, and you're doing this in a professional manner, and you're thinking through the uncertainty, and you're planning for it. And it's so vital. And we all think about our getting up and making the donuts, but you're doing a lot more than that. And so I really appreciate everything you guys are doing. And your professionalism shows. It's a lot of hard work that goes into this, and it's obvious that you guys have done the homework, and so thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll go ahead and motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All right, Bruce?
Aye.
Farnaz?
Aye.
Tracy? Aye. All right, thank you, Sadie and Jeremiah.
Thank you,
everybody.
Have a good weekend.
Ciao, ciao.